Well, friends, Jesus was the servant of servants. Servant was his name. In that greatest of prophecies, the book of Isaiah, we are called to behold my servant, the Lord's servant, that is, a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, Isaiah described Jesus Christ as a servant. That was the best way to describe him. The term servant accurately describes the whole of Jesus' life. Jesus came to serve. The Apostle Paul, describing how Jesus became a man, says that he emptied himself of the glory that he had and came to earth by taking the form of a prince? A king? No. Taking the form of a servant. Philippians 2 verse 7. If you're a Christian, you were redeemed and forgiven, and you are heading for heaven, for eternal glory, only because Jesus was a servant of servants on the earth. Jesus not only served God, but he served us. All that he did on earth was a service to us as well as to his Father in heaven. He served us on the cross, that's clear, by taking all our sins on his shoulders as if each one of these sins were his own, and he paid its ill desert to whatever God demanded each of these sins deserved. But not just his cross work, but everything that Jesus did was a service to us as well as to God. He served other people. And he was and is the perfect example for us to follow. And as Christians, we too must serve other people, our neighbours, just as much as we serve God. Jesus himself very clearly declared that the greatest commandments are the ones about serving God and serving our neighbours. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second's like it. What is it? Well, it's serving people. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments, said Jesus, depend everything. Depend all the teachings of Scripture. It depends the law and the prophets. Jesus is showing that that love involves serving people, true love to God, and we have to love people. To serve other people is the best way to demonstrate our love and our commitment to God. Serving people is one of the best evidences that we're saved, that we're one of God's children. In fact, Paul said that the whole law is fulfilled in one word, to love your neighbour as yourself. Galatians 5:14. Jesus said, I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you, which was to serve them and wash their feet. John 13 verse 15. I am among you as one who serves, he said. And the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. That's clear, isn't it? And to give his life a ransom for many. Luke 22:27. To serve other people is also one of the best ways to evangelize without being a threat to people. Some people are a threat. Some Christians are a threat and a challenge to people. And they think that is essential to be effective in evangelism. But some Christians do damage, actually, by creating a challenge unnecessary and creating a tension when there was no need. Instead of presenting the image of Christ in public, his image was assisting and helping people. He went about doing good. And it was in the context of winning souls that Paul said, I have made myself a servant to all that I may win more of them. I've made myself a servant of all that I may win more of them. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. That passage is clearly teaching that winning people to Christ is accomplished by showing our love for and interest in the well-being of others. It's something that really attracts people. It demonstrates the love of Christ. As Paul said, through love, serve one another. Whoever would be great among you, he said to his disciples, must be your what? Your servant. If you want to be great, serve others. Matthew 20, verse 26. Jesus went out of his way to be a help to others, and no matter what the status or the creed or the faith of that individual was who needed help. The parable of the Good Samaritan itself makes that abundantly plain. Jesus made himself of use and put himself in a position to be a blessing to whoever needed help. And in going about doing good, he was prepared and actually did become a laughingstock to the public. They laughed at him when he went to raise Jairus' daughter and said she was sleeping when she was dead. Matthew 5, verse 40. When he raised the dead man from his coffin, he did a most wonderful thing for the man's grieving mother, and that without one single warning or rebuke on that very solemn of occasions, a funeral. He simply brought great relief and consolation to the brokenhearted and all who had gathered there. Luke 7, verse 14. Jesus' first visit was not to come to collect the righteous people. Rather, he came to earth to win sinners by dying for them, of course, but with his love and care and interest in them and to bring them to repentance. He'll come a second time, of course, to gather his people together. But Christ's first visit was not only to provide a sacrifice in payment for the sins of the world, but also to show us the way we should live here on earth, especially in our relationships one with another, with all kinds of people. Paul followed Christ's example and was willing to become all things to all people in order to be a blessing to them. Paul was made a public spectacle in order to win souls. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. It was in connection with evangelism that Paul said to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people that, listen to it, by all means, that's all legitimate means, of course, I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel of Christ, that I may share with them in its blessing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20, and so on. Rather than expecting candidates for conversion to change their ways, as so often we do, Paul did the changing and accommodated their customs and habits, apart from sinful ones, of course, in order to get a hearing, in order to convince people we're interested, genuinely interested in your welfare. Yes, Jesus was a servant of servants, and chief among the motives was, of course, his love. His love for and his obedience to his Father, and of course, his love for people. We will never be able to truly help people unless there's love in our hearts towards them. We need to pray hard, don't we, to love people, all kinds, just like Jesus did. And Christ, again, of course, is the prime example of that love. He said, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And we know he did that. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.